Take your Bible tonight, go to Matthew chapter 20. I think Alice and I think Larry, her husband, exemplified this passage of Scripture in Matthew 20. Beginning in verse 25, the Bible says, "But Jesus called them to himself and said, 'You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many.'" I titled this message tonight, "Be Great, Serve." Be great, serve. Let's open in a word of prayer tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Alice. We thank you for her years of faithful service to all of us. God, there's probably very few in this ministry that have not been in contact with her as she has served in the front office. God, as she has answered phone calls, as she has set up appointments, as she has found information, as she has served the pastoral staff. God, and as she has done that with a cheerful spirit, as she has cheerfully served us because it's her desire to serve you. God, we thank you for that wonderful example and that wonderful testimony. And God, I pray that we all would have a desire to be great and understand that true greatness involves servanthood. And God, I pray that as we have many opportunities to serve in many different ways, God, may we grab a hold of that and wrap our arms around that, and may it be a joy to us to serve you and to serve others. And God, as we do that, may we do it joyfully. God, we thank you for the opportunity to look into your word tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you keep your finger here in Matthew, someday I'm going to do a skit about that with just a rubber finger. Keep your finger, that's always funny. But anyway, go over to Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy chapter 28, beginning of verse 45, the Bible says, "Moreover, all these curses shall come upon you and pursue and overtake you until you are destroyed, because you did not obey the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandments and his statutes which he commanded you. And they shall be upon you for a sign and a wonder and on your descendants forever, because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and gladness of heart for the abundance of everything. Therefore, you shall serve your enemies, whom the Lord will send against you in hunger and thirst and nakedness and in need of everything. And he will put a yoke of iron on your neck until he has destroyed you." As you read that passage of Scripture, do you think it matters how we serve? See a few head bobs, a few people with me tonight. I think it matters how we serve, right? And in fact, God says very clearly in verse 47, "Because you didn't serve the Lord your God with joy and gladness of heart for the abundance of everything." The Bible says you're going to serve someone. And whoever and whatever you serve, you should do it with joy and gladness. And most of us do. If we serve ourselves, we do it with joy and gladness. And God says, when you serve me, I want you to serve me with joy and gladness. Is there anyone here tonight that would be honest enough to say, "I've served without joy and gladness"? Pastor Jim has. Looks like just Pastor Jim has. All right, so, all right. Have you ever just done it without joy and gladness? You did it. Okay, you can put your hands down now. People are finally catching on. But yeah, sometimes we do what we know what we're supposed to do, but we don't do it with joy and gladness. To be honest, even this move for us, for a long time, I don't know how you get joy and gladness. You know, I mean, we love everyone here and we don't know anyone there. It's a hard move to do. But as I've read this, I've said, God, if I'm doing what you want me to do, I want to do it with joy and gladness. If you could hear all of the stories over 10 years, I remember I had one person come in my office and they were so mad. They were just so ticked and they just started swearing. I mean, they were just losing their mind in my office. And so Alice started running copies so people couldn't hear what he was saying out in the office. And I thought, that's pretty creative. Didn't help me too much, but I'm glad she was running the copies. But you know, when you go through things like that, you know, I always say you can either cry or you can laugh, right? I've always chosen I'd rather laugh than cry. But I think sometimes it's good to just remember, you know what? We need to serve this way for a lifetime. By the way, isn't this how we should serve our spouse? Can you serve your spouse with joy, or can you just go through the motions? You can just go through, guys can go to work and bring home a paycheck, and they can take care of the bills, but they can have no joy in who they're doing it for. Or they can say, no, I want to serve the Lord with joy and with gladness. And I would challenge you that you can tell. Do you agree with me tonight? Do you think you can tell when people are serving with joy and gladness and when they're not? And if you're working with people, I personally, it just irritates me to work with an Eeyore. Do you know what I mean? I mean, I'd rather work with Tigger any day of the week, all right? You know? And you start working with an Eeyore and they're just down in the mouth and everything's sad and everything's negative and everything's bad. And you're just like, man, when can I get away from this person? Versus the person who rolls up their sleeves and, you know, have you been in hard situations? Have you ever had a hard job? A couple of us went quadding and I see Isaac back there. Isaac and I almost had a quad roll over the top of us. And it was a scary situation and we got out of it. But you know, when you're with the right guy, I mean, we're not losing our temper. We're just laughing. We're alive. You know, we're happy. It's okay. But you know, if you're with the right person, and boy, in ministry, can ministry be hard? Man, ministry can be hard. Serving the Lord can be hard. It's not always easy to serve the Lord. But when you're serving the Lord with someone else who has joy in their heart and says, this job isn't that exciting, but I sure love serving the Lord. You know, when you come on Saturday to a work day and the deacons say, here's the list of things that need to get done, who's going to do this? And, you know, we may do those things and say, you know what, I don't really want to have to clean that off the window, but somebody has to. But you should walk away that day saying, boy, wasn't it a joy to serve the Lord together? I've been on two mission trips with our team, and I've seen these guys work their guts out. I've seen the ladies get up early in the morning and cook breakfast, and on our last missions trip, they were running out of food, and so they didn't eat, didn't tell us that. And we came to that end of that meeting where everyone had just worked their guts out from morning till night, and the ladies too. And we had a testimony time. You know what everyone talked about? What a blessing it was to them. They got a ton of work done for the camp. But you know what? It was just a joy to serve the Lord. And every kid that gets saved at that camp, every one of those guys that went down and worked will have a little bit in that. And I think that camp is going to see a lot of people saved. And every one of those kids that get saved, every guy that went down and every person that gave money so they could go down is going to have a little piece of that. That's kind of cool. And the Bible says, be careful when you serve, that you serve with joy and gladness of heart for the abundance of everything. Because God says, if you don't, then you can serve your enemies. You really have two choices tonight. Who are you going to serve? You know, the school I went to, Northern Baptist Bible College, closed last week. And that's a sad thing. You know, the college that Joan and I graduated from that used to send out pastors and missionaries has closed its doors. But when we went there, DACO used to say, call it the House of Ministry, HOWS, and it was an acronym for Honesty, Obedience, Wisdom, and Service, the House of the Christian Life. And if you want to know the House of the Christian Life, it's Honesty, Obedience, Wisdom, and Service. And that was drilled into us. In fact, there was an emblem on the pulpit, and every day we went into chapel, we saw those hows: honesty, obedience, wisdom, service. When you graduated, you got a towel, and on the towel it said, be great, serve. If you were to go in the upstairs of my office, you'd find that towel still there today. And Doc O used to tell us all the time, he who has the dirtiest towel wins. Be a servant. Spend your life serving the Lord and serving other people. Don't be a sitter. You know what a sitter is? Someone who just sits in a pew and that's all they do. You know, there's no awards in heaven for church attendance. It's great that you come and we need to come, but God's saying, I'm looking for servants. And how many times have you heard me use the string illustration? If we run it here, I like what he said this morning. This life is the front porch to eternity. That was a good description. In Ecclesiastes, he says it's a breath. Go out on a cold day and go, ah. And as fast as it takes for that to dissipate, God says, that's your life. That's all you get to serve the Lord. You know, and as I've worked with our deacons, we had some challenging times over the years here. And some people decline. You know, we get nominated and I go and talk to them and say, you know what, I don't want to be a deacon. I don't want to know about any of the problems. And I want to tell you tonight, I am thankful for the men who've stood up and said, I'll know about the problems because I'm here to serve. And that doesn't mean if those that didn't want to, that's okay. But I am going to say, I appreciate the guys that say, you know what, yeah, every church has some challenges, but I want to roll up my sleeves and I want to get dirty and I want to help. And I'm here to serve the Lord. And I appreciate the wives who let them do that and back them in every way. And we've had amazing deacons who, and I believe another reason why God has blessed our ministry is those who have served sacrificially in such a great way. Let's go back, if you would, to Matthew chapter 20. It's so funny. If you were here this morning, did that message sound familiar? Only three of you, everybody should be going, I heard that 5 weeks ago. It was an upgrade this morning, but you did hear it 5 weeks ago. That was the same passage we preached through in Luke. And then next Sunday, we're going to pick right up and go into the Pharisee. And if you're looking ahead, you know, the Pharisee thinks he's all that and a bag of chips is what we call it. He thinks he's pretty great stuff. And remember the poor man who beats his breast and won't even look up to heaven. And remember what God says? That man went to his house justified. You come this coming Sunday morning, we're going to talk about religious hypocrisy and pride. Religious hypocrites don't serve. And I believe we live in a very proud, self-centered generation. We call it a WIFM, what's in it for me? And that's how we live our lives. You know, if I go to church, if I do anything, well, what's in it for me? And if there's not anything in it for me, I'm not too interested. I mean, that's how I pick a church. That's how I do anything. If I don't see anything that's in it for me, then I'm just not going to be involved. And yet God is looking for people that will serve. And I'm just springboarding off of Alice. She has been a wonderful servant. I think the promotion of self-fulfillment, self-glory, self-esteem has become a major industry today. And it's found its way into the church. The biblical teaching of sacrifice and self-denial for the sake of God and others is a foreign concept to most and rarely practiced in our daily lives. I believe that tonight. The biblical teaching of sacrifice and self-denial for the sake of God and others is a foreign concept to most and rarely practiced in our daily lives. My wife has a great saying, you know, the true sign of a servant is how you act when you're treated like one. You think about that. You'll find out your servant's heart when you're treated like a servant. Boy, how do you, not a lot of us like that. I don't want to be treated like a servant. I want to be appreciated. Remember the servant who works all day and the master comes in and says, make my food? And Jesus says, he's just done his duty. He's just done what he's supposed to do. And yet we think, man, that guy should get a medal. And look at all that he served all day and he fed the guy. Wow, that should, God says, that's just your duty. And you know what? God says all of our duty is to serve. That's our duty. God saved you to serve. He did not save you to sit. And whatever gift and whatever talent and in whatever way, God made us all different. And praise God for that. If we were all the eye, the Bible says, we'd be in trouble. If we were all the ear, we'd be in trouble. God didn't make us all pastors. He didn't make us all musicians. He didn't make us all handy with tools. But whatever your gifts and whatever your abilities, God put the church together and God says, I want you to serve. I want you to give. I believe revivals are always marked by a brokenness, a contrition, and humility. There's always a reverential awe of the Word of God. But I believe, unfortunately, many North American churches have become self-indulgent, self-satisfied, and self-reliant, claiming numerical and financial growth as evidence of spiritual blessings. You know, there's a lot of big churches that are not honoring God. But they look around and say, look how big we are. Look how much money we have. We must be doing things right. When's the last time you went to an Oilers game? They got a lot of people and they have lots of money. And they have been last place for a long time. Just because you have a lot of people and a lot of money does not mean you're doing everything right. Daco used to say churches get caught up in bodies, bucks, and buildings, and more next year than this year. That's not what church is about. He used to say, you know, smack your head on the wall, you'll get some growth, but it's not the growth you want. That's like he said there's a difference between swelling and growth. That's a great statement. And he said, guys, when you go out into ministry, don't have swelling. Go for growth. And growth happens when people get saved and when people roll up their hands and serve together. And I think we all agree there's so much to be done in our world. Boy, Edmonton needs this church. It needs this church. I believe that with all my heart. But it can't be a person at church. It's got to be a group of people who roll up their sleeves and have each other's back and say, we're going to work together for the cause of Christ. Someone said teamwork makes the dream work. And this city needs Meadowlands Baptist Church to be the church God called it to be. And that's going to take all of us working together and serving together. And maybe not everyone's going to show up on a work day. There's lots of opportunities and lots of places to serve and however God's gifted you. But I just want to challenge you tonight, if you're back here in Matthew 20, verse 28, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. If you and I truly want to be Christ-like, if we want to be like Christ, then this is what it looks like. It's a servant. If anyone deserved to be served, wouldn't you say it's Jesus Christ? I mean, if anyone deserved to just be carried around on people's shoulders, have every whim of his answered, I mean, this is the creator of the universe. If anyone deserved to be served in every minute of his existence, it was Jesus Christ. And yet, what did he spend his entire life doing? Serving others. Everything you read in the New Testament. Remember when Jesus said to the disciples, you guys are worn out, we need a break. Let's go to the other side and take some time off. And they rode to the other side, and the Bible says the people outwent them. They ran around the lake, and they were there when they got to the other side. And the Bible says, and Jesus was what? Does it say Jesus was angry? Do you ever get angry when you finally get time for a break? You know, I was talking to Jason LaFlamme, a good friend of mine. He said, you know, Jim, it's so hard as a pastor sometimes. You finally get that night off, and you're so excited, you know, and you get down with your family, you're going to watch a movie, you get the bowl of popcorn, and the phone rings, and a guy says, hey, I've got a gun in my mouth. I need to talk to you. And only as Jason LaFlamme would say, I'm sorry, it's popcorn night at my house. You can't do that, can you? And the challenge is, in those moments, how do you respond? I mean, it's easy in those moments to stop serving with joy. It's just like Jesus getting to the other side when they are completely exhausted. And you know how Jesus responded? The Bible says he was moved with compassion. He said, guys, I know you're exhausted. I know we're all tired, but we got to do one more thing. We got to minister to these people. If you want to be great tonight, then you got to be a servant. He who dies with the dirtiest towel wins. be great, serve. Do you know why I think this lady that we honor tonight is so great? And I think she's great. Because she's a servant. She does not like public speaking. She does not really even like big events. The only way you get her to a big event is ask her to what? Serve. If you ask her to serve, she'll show up. Why? It's just wired in her. And I think a lot of you would agree with me tonight. That's why she's so great. I would also say I think there's a lot of great people in our church. There are a lot of great servants. But sometimes we don't really think that through and say, what makes them so great? Why are they so special? And the Bible says, if you're going to be like the Son of God, then you're going to have to be great and you're going to have to serve. Take your Bible and go to chapter 23, Matthew 23, verse 11. The Bible says in Matthew 23, 11, Jesus Christ is speaking, but he says, but he who is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Let me challenge you tonight. Our life is so short. We have such a brief time to make it count for the cause of Christ. Be great, serve. Do the hows of ministry, honesty, obedience, wisdom, service. And as you spend your life serving God and serving others, the Bible says you will be great in the eyes of the person with whom it matters the most. I don't know about you, but wouldn't it be neat to enter heaven and hear God say, well done, thou good and faithful, what? What's the word? Servant. You don't get well done, good and faithful, without servant. If you want to hear well done, thou good and faithful, you need to be a servant tonight. And say, I'm going to just spend the rest of my life. All of us got saved at different ages and different stages, but wherever you are tonight, would you be willing to lay your life down and serve the Lord for the rest of your life? Say, for the rest of my life, everything that's in me, as much as I can do, I'm going to serve the Lord. And as you age, there's things you can't do like you used to anymore. And that's okay. You know, sometimes when people age, they feel bad that they can't serve like they used to serve. And let me say to the young people here in the room, they shouldn't have to serve like they used to serve. If you have good health, you should be stepping up and saying, we don't need you to shovel our sidewalks. We don't need you to do the physical stuff. Why? Because we got a bunch of young guys here who can do that. But the Bible says there's some wonderful things that comes with gray hair, and it's called wisdom. And so I think as you age, there's just a different role, and hopefully it's a role of wisdom. Hopefully it's a role of prayer. And I think again, those are two things that we need to appreciate about those that are aging. They have wisdom, and they do pray. You know how sad to have wisdom and nobody asks you a question. I think that's too bad. You know, some of you younger married couples would be very blessed to talk to some of the older married couples in our church. And you know what? Some of our older married couples, when I do premarriage counseling, I bring in four couples that have been married 40 years or greater, and they love it. They love to come in and help these young couples. You say, hey, they've learned a lot in those years of marriage. Why don't you take advantage of that? God wants all of us in any stage that we're at, but there is no stage where we stop serving. I think we've replaced sacrifice with success, suffering with self-satisfaction, and godly obedience with fleshly indulgence. Lenski stated that God's great men are not sitting on top of lesser men, but bearing lesser men on their backs. Greatness is not how many serve you, but how many you serve. The true servant is willing to sacrifice for the sake of others in the name of Christ. The Christian who desires to be great and first in the kingdom is the one who is willing to serve God and serve others. If we go back to Matthew chapter 20, verse 28, The pattern for true greatness, the Bible says in verse 28, just as the Son of Man did. Jesus is the supreme example of humility and servanthood. Because as God, he subjected himself to humiliation, even to death. Self-giving should be the normal pattern for Christians, just as it was the normal pattern for Christ. Do you realize that every time someone got to Christ, he healed them? He couldn't help himself. He was a servant. If you got to him, he would heal you. Remember the guys that ripped the roof off and lowered the guy down? I mean, Jesus is speaking, the house is so crammed packed, they can't get anyone in. So these creative guys says, we got to get them in. And if you're in a building and the ceiling's coming down on you, that's not a happy feeling, all right? And probably the homeowner, as he sees a large hole open up in his roof, probably wasn't thinking, that's cool. But what does Jesus do? Did he heal that guy? He healed that guy. Walking in a large crowd and two blind men on the side of the road are calling out, Jesus, Jesus. And what are the disciples? Shut up. Be quiet. And they kept yelling and Jesus healed them. Remember the woman that had an issue of blood? She knew if I could just get to Jesus, the Bible says she just touches the hem of his garment and she's healed. And Jesus in the midst of a crowd says, who touched me? And the disciples are probably thinking, 500 people touched you. You're in a crowd. But the woman knew what he meant and she said, it was me. Everywhere Jesus went, he served people. You know, if you were honest, a lot of times what ticks you off in your marriage is you didn't get it your way. You didn't get served. Most of the things that get us upset in marriage is I'm not being served. It's not going my way. I often say in marriage counseling, what sacrifice have you demanded lately? And what sacrifice have you made lately? Most of us have demanded an awful lot of our spouse. Hey, can you do this, do this, do this? But what sacrifice have you made lately for your spouse? Do you want to be a great husband? Do you want to be a great wife? Then serve. Say, boy, I'm going to serve my spouse. Boy, that's hard though, isn't it? We want our spouse to revolve around our schedules and our situations. And God says, but that's not great. Verse 28, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many. Jesus not only lived and died for others, but died as a ransom for others. The Greek word for ransom was the term commonly used for the redemption, the price of a slave, the amount required to buy his freedom. The idea is that of a price paid for a life. He gave his life a ransom for many. His ransom is sufficient for every person, and it's valid only for those who believe in him. Christ is the pattern for all of us to follow as far as being a servant. And I would just come back to what we read in the Old Testament. How you serve matters. Remember, if you don't serve the Lord with gladness, then you can serve your enemies. You don't want to serve God, you don't want to joyfully serve the Lord, then serve your enemies. But God says you should joyfully serve the Lord if you remember all that he's done for you. If all you could think about tonight was salvation, doesn't that put a smile on your face? Doesn't that make you say, I owe him? I don't know about you, I could spend the rest of my life serving the Lord, and I hope I do, but I still won't be even with him. If I spend the rest of my little breath serving the Lord, I won't end my life thinking, you know, I finally squared it off with God. I covered my salvation. I did enough. You know what happens? When I die, it'll still be far short of what he did for me. I think when you serve and you're looking for the pat on the back, you're forgetting that we're just doing our duty when we serve. And I would challenge you tonight, be great, serve. It's wonderful to honor Alice for 10 years of faithful service. And there are many other people here who have faithfully served the Lord. I can think of Tom and Irene Day, the founding members of this church. Faithful, faithful servants all through the years. Let me encourage you tonight, be great. And if you want to be great, then serve. That's what Jesus Christ did. And that's what he describes in this passage of Scripture. Let's close in prayer tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the many examples of servanthood in our church. Lord, we think of our deacons who have faithfully served you, who've given up of their time as they've worked through concerns and issues, even as they are currently doing in this time of transition. God, I thank you for each one of them and the blessing they've been to Joan and I personally, and a blessing they are to our church. Think of our treasurer and his wife, Lord, the service that Mike and Lenny have served here in this ministry all through the years, and we could just keep going on and on tonight. God, we thank you for the opportunity to honor a faithful servant who served here a decade. God, I pray that she would feel loved and appreciated tonight. God, as we have this brief time to look into your word and be reminded tonight that you want us to be servants, I hope that it's all of our desires to finish the race and hear those amazing words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Help us not to get so caught up in our own world that we forget about yours. That everything becomes about us instead of everything being about you. God, help us to find balance. Help us to find time. Help us to serve you faithfully. God, we thank you for putting us together as a body of believers. God, help us to be faithful until you come back or until you call us home. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You are dismissed tonight.